This is a podcast from the people behind the world's longest running football fans podcast, The Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and listen anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can have a free subscription where this lands straight in your email inbox, and you can go to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. You can also have a paid subscription where you get some additional content, including the In Conversation podcast every week end and the Celtic written, which is basically a rehash of the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, oops, from Glenn Tintin from years ago. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, with this week's podcast. Andrew and I are now in the car following the Celtic AGM. If you're following on Twitter, it was quite eventful. If you're just catching up, it was quite eventful.
Yeah. The meeting that never was. It's like the Scotland Tartan Army in Tallinn. You know what I mean? Like, you go along for this game and it just doesn't take place.
I will do what I did last year. Last year, I took the tweets in order that I did them at the AGM and put them into an article and then put it up on the site. So I will do that and you can follow what happened. But the gist of it is that the meeting ended up being adjourned.
A rabble.
I was just going to say adjourned.
Oh, adjourned, all right, right. an adjourned rabble.
So I was trying not to use pejorative language. I was just trying to stick to the facts. So the likelihood is, so the meeting's adjourned, but the PLC AGM does need to take place some way, somehow. So option number one is that the meeting takes place at another day and we're all given 30 days notice of that to take place. Option number two would be that the meeting takes place. I don't even know if they do need to do it online, actually. I think you probably would do it online.
I think you would rather allow to do it online.
I think they can just get away with having the auditors and the board and people, independent parties inspecting to say it definitely took place. But those rules are probably written before modern technology. Just do it on Zoom. And
there was a couple on Zoom, wasn't there, around about the time of COVID?
Yeah, so probably just do it on Zoom and then say that you've got to send your questions in advance. Anyway, Andrew, that's where you're at. So talk us through what happened, because one of the challenges for me always at an AGM is because if I'm tweeting, you're doing your best to pay attention to what's being said, but you're looking at a screen so you don't necessarily see everything that's going on. So talk me through. I was a bit taken aback when the booing started and looked up and the board came in. So
yeah, there was a section that Finlay seemed to be the kind of the head of that section that had red cards. So as soon as the top table came in, they were booed remorselessly and the red cards were shown. And then there was...
My perception was we were sitting, the room sort of tends to be split into three chunks for people who've not been there. There's a board table at the top. There's a smaller part, and then there's a passageway where there's microphones and it's next to a doorway. Then there's the main chunk, then another passageway where people go along, and then the final chunk. And there was at least one overspill room, possibly.
There was, I think. They were talking there might be a second overspill room, but I don't think that they required it. I think they settled for one overspill room, which was pretty full. Mm-hmm. So how many would be there?
I think in the normal course of events, the main room takes about 400 people.
Right. So there's maybe not quite that again. So maybe about 600, would you say, maybe?
About that.
600. And it wasn't just one section with the red cards. There was a man behind us. We were to the right of the kind of...
I was going to describe, if the table looked out at the room, we were towards the front of the main body of the room.
We were.
And we were on the left-hand side as the board looked out at the room, and the main group of noise was coming from the opposite side to us.
There was. And Peter Lawwell opened the meeting. He mentioned that they would not accept if the behaviour wasn't good. They wouldn't accept. He did say that, didn't he? So that was like a red rag to the red carders.
Yep.
But then Jeanette approached them. Jeanette put her hand up, came to the...
She went to a microphone stand first.
She went to the microphone stand first. It was off. And then so she then approached the chair. She approached the top table. Peter Lawwell was putting his hand up. She had her hand up, but
He wasn't. He said to her, it wasn't for high fives.
No. It was for throat. Throat grabbing. So he said, sit down, Jeanette, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
He said several times.
Sit down, Jeanette.
More
sit,
than that.
Sit down, Jeanette. Sit down, Jeanette. You got to show people respect. Like,
sounds like Marlon Brando.
I'm going to but I'll get the cotton wool out of my cheeks. But so, therefore, Jeanette's quibble was with the standard AGM fare of showing videos to say how great everything is. She said, let's can the videos because we want more time for questions. So I take it she would probably have asked, could there be a show of hands to change the format of the, or change the agenda? I mean, you could change, you could effectively change the agenda. That was some what some people were, but
the
Peter Lowell would not tolerate that.
Well, the, first of all, the agenda's been sent out. So what you, to be fair, that the videos are not the agenda. The videos are the format, if you want to.
Yeah, so she wanted to change the format. So she wanted more time for questions. And that he said no. And then there was much kind of rumbling and growling and
shouting.
And he said, we're going to adjourn for 30 minutes. And then when he returned, which again, it's all, it's two factions who cannot find any common ground. They're too diametrical. I mean, they're diametrically opposed in everything. If one of them said today was Friday, the other one wouldn't believe it.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Actually, if the board said today was Friday, the Green Brigade would issue a statement about the board colluding.
The Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
Why are you only giving us it in the Gregorian calendar?
And if the Green Brigade said it'd be Friday, they'd be banned.
Yeah.
Due to the Green Brigade stating that today is Friday, we're having to shut the standing section. Glasgow City Council Safety Committee have contacted us about the use of Friday on a Friday.
That's where we are. We're at an impossible impasse of a position. We can't all be in the same room. That, I mean, that's just it in a nutshell, isn't it? We can't all be in the same room anymore.
No. And I actually don't know, based on that meeting, I like a nice compromise. I like middle grounds being, as we've discussed multiple times in the period since this meeting finished, I like finding middle ground with people. I like having a robust debate.
Yes.
And then for resolutions, I like middle grounds, and I can't see one.
There is no middle between, ground.
Where the Green Brigade are at and where the board are at.
It reminded me, and I was telling you, if I'm allowed to say it, on air, as it were, reminded me when we invited, I was part of the political society in Strathclyde University in the mid to late 80s. There was another podcaster was there wearing his Hang Nelson Mandela t-shirt. Well, no go there, but a famous podcaster, Celtic podcaster, I should add. So we used to invite politicians.
Celtic podcaster,
I think,
Hang Nelson Mandela t-shirt.
Hang Nelson Mandela t-shirt. They're false. Celtic star. But I don't want to say it on air. They're false. Celtic star. Like,
anyway, let bygones be bygones.
No, I'm not. Like, at all. But anyway. So, we invited Leon Britton to come and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was...
What was the thinking behind inviting Leon Britton to speak?
Just to actually abuse him.
All right, okay.
Just to kind of... So we lined up, we invited him one Wednesday, and then another Wednesday we invited Michael Heseltine, and we blocked the entire union. It's like, invited the guy, and then we wouldn't let him come in. And then Leon Britton came in to speak. He started speaking. We all started booing, and we all turned our backs to him. And the phrase then was, he's a sex pest, because nobody knew other phrases for sex pestery.
Like, alleged.
Alleged sex pest. Sorry, I alleged. Alleged sex pest. And it reminded me of that. It's like, or it reminded me of the famous Kinnock Labour Party conference when he was taking on Derek Hatton.
And that's what Ross Desmond's speech reminded me of, that we'll get to in a minute. Ross Desmond's speech reminded me of Kinnock at that 1986 Labour conference.
As opposed to, he grasped the nettle, whether people like it or not, but he was just booed down and he was accused of, like, in Ross Desmond's speech. So it was just... If you're not going to let people speak, what do you do with that? What do you do with that in a meeting if the meeting can't, if there's not a decorum?
The council
said, we want decorum.
The counter argument would be, so you do what Harry Brady does and you turn up every AGM and you write letters in saying this isn't good enough, and the board go, thanks for your comments, and carry on regardless. That would be the counter argument.
Yeah, I understand that too. But you can't just go to a meeting and shout people down and expect
to get progress.
No. They're always talking about, we want dialogue. Like, we hear the collective talk about, which we're part of, we talk about, we want dialogue. But that's the antithesis of dialogue.
So the video's on, shouting, Peter says we're going to adjourn, goes out, then 30 to 35 minutes later, comes back in the room. And to be fair, there was a smattering of people telling the shouting people to be quiet.
There was. That grew. I mean, it didn't grow to, it wasn't the entire,
it wasn't a
50-50
split in the room.
No, it was just about half a dozen people saying, oh, for God's sake, shut up.
And they were all on the board.
Yeah.
So then we get the videos.
And we get some really soft soap questions from... you understand why people are exasperated. Because we've reached this position and we should always make this... we state this without a shadow of a doubt. The board have precipitated this predicament, this situation. The board... If you look at the genesis of the issues that we're seeing, I would blame the board. Not necessarily for the things that are happening, the Dundee incident and all that. These are different things. But I just mean in terms of that toxicity
the incremental stagnation, or the phrase that Celtic use, where we believe in evolution, not revolution. The problem is that our evolution goes at the pace of standard evolution.
It does. We've still got six toes.
So
the club with six toes.
Don't start. Rangers fans will be like, yeah, they have. And so the videos go on, and there's the odd shout out when they say, make statements about, we always want Celtic to be the best they can be, and, you know, the blah, blah, blah.
You understand where people go, what is this bullshit?
Yeah. But you see, this is where I sit there and go, okay, I know you're going to say all this, so I'm just going to sit here and this is the dad and me. I know you're going to say all that, so I'm going to let you say all that, and then I'll stand up and ask my questions that say, see what you've
rebut
said.
All that.
Here's why it's a load of nonsense.
Yes.
But instead, what happened was, well, firstly, actually, then that section that was most vociferous, when the video comes on, they got up and walk out.
They got up and walked out.
Waving their red cards.
I thought I was back to Rugby Park the other week. You know, they're all standing in the hall. The kind of,
at first,
the
I thought they were just walking out, and that was it.
Same here.
And then they were...
Like Derek Hatton and the Militant Tendency guys that time. Yeah, 40 years ago. But no, they all stood just at the door. And there was people saying, why don't they just shut the doors on them? The people that couldn't be bothered. Because people were wanting... What happened with two sides that can't engage with one another? That was writ large there.
To be fair, the board would say, we were trying to engage. This is the format for engaging. And you shouted at us.
Yeah.
We'll get to Ross Desmond's speech talking about shouting at people in a minute. So they walked out, then the video ends.
And then they come back. They walk back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Ross Desmond.
Then they did the hokey cokey and they turned around.
Did they do that? Look at as long as they didn't shout at him and call him an alleged sex pest.
No, so then they came in, and then I thought at this point, we are going to rattle through the resolution points, try and get to the... Because I thought, we're going to rattle through the resolution points, try and get to the Q&A. Mm-hmm. It'll become a rabble at the Q&A. Then you can say, we're shutting it down. And then you've had the meeting, because you've done the formal part of the meeting. You've had the points and you have had questions.
Yeah.
So I thought they might try and race to the end that way. But they didn't. Now we're going to have Ross Desmond, who's going to say to you, get it fucking up, you, I'm in charge.
Well, yeah. So this was a deliberate kind of incendiary act from them. That's what the red carders would say.
Yes, but what I would say in my, because I'm a fan of history, I would say that was Nixon's speech, and I keep reverting back to this, Nixon's speech to the silent majority. I think that's what he was trying to do. He was speaking. My perception is, see if there's Green Brigade people in the room here, I couldn't care less. In fact, they deserve to get this verbal kicking. And see everybody else, I think the reasonable people in the room will start to go, do you know what, this guy's... And I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm saying I think this was the view of this.
You said there's a lot. They would think there's a lot more people who'll probably be on side with me than will be against.
Because he makes the point that we've discussed offline. That, I mean, I've done my rants about Dermot being the major shareholder and whatever.
Controlling shareholder. That's my new phrase. I like
controlling
that.
Controlling shareholder. Yeah.
I'm delighted at that one.
The biggest single shareholder.
No, controlling shareholders better.
But he made the point that he has put a lot of money into the club.
Yeah, I worked that out the other week, didn't I?
It was about 34 million quid or something.
Was it 33? 33.
So he didn't say the number. He just said...
No, but remember, I worked it out.
He just said, put a lot of money into this club, support the... And Ross was... It was a mixture of Ross saying, I'm speaking on behalf of... It was a bit like when you're at school and you're writing a story and half of it's first-person narrative and half of it's third-person. So some of
signed, my dad!
Some of it was, I am speaking on behalf of my father.
Yes.
But then sort of seemed to move into the...
His master's voice.
Get it up, you bunch of dicks.
This is straight... Haven't heard Dermot Desmond speak that way.
And actually, if I was, I mean, I went to the meeting today thinking, I've asked questions the last couple of years, and I decided this year I probably wasn't going to ask a question because there'd be enough people wanting to ask questions. So I decided that I wasn't going to do that. And I would just, but if I was going to ask a question, because there's loads of people who ask things, my question would have been, did he think that statement he made about Brendan Rodgers showed any class at all? Because I didn't. And then I would have asked Michael why he allowed a major shareholder to rate, that's controlling shareholder, to put a statement out on the website, which then gets to the, I suppose, see the defence again that Dermot would say to people saying he shouldn't have been allowed to do that. So much of the vitriol and the posters have had his face on it and have been about him as the controlling shareholder. So he would then say, I need a right of reply. That would be his argument.
Yeah. I don't get as worked up into a lather about like Dermot Desmond's kind of power without responsibility, because he would say he does have the responsibility. His son was trying to suggest that
I think he would say, I do have responsibility, because you know what? Every financial institution that has engaged with Celtic since I've been here has known that I've made it clear I'm ultimate backstop.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll never do what David Murray did, because David Murray wasn't a proper businessman. Everything was built on debt.
We need to drop that's the what 90s, he would say. I know. We need to look Ross Desmond in his speech going back to the 90s. And
to be fair, I think he was only referencing the 90s, because that was the point that he came in and put in his 30-odd million quid. Well, initially it wasn't 30.
No,
it was two,
three different tranches. Was it I mean, now what we're suggesting is that was a deliberate ploy from Ross Desmond. Have a shit-stirring statement that you know how it's going to be received, and that'll get the meeting.
I don't know if it was intended to get the meeting closed down. I think it was intended to...
That, if you're playing devil's advocate, that's what people are now saying on our chat group.
I don't think it was. I think it was his... As I say about the Nixon thing, I think that was his putting the Green Brigade in the place, because he talked about them. Can't remember how he told them, in quite a dismissive, demeaning man, the rabble type manner. I think it was a verbal riposte to them and a reaching out to the reasonable people. I think that was his plan. I don't think he had a plan to shut the meeting down. I don't think the board had a plan to shut the meeting down.
The board, rightly,
I think they weren't prepared to shut the meeting down. I don't think they had a plan to shut the meeting down.
No, I mean, we do ascribe the board with greater strategic abilities when it comes to dealing with the supporters than I really think they do possess.
Actually, the irony is, we criticise the board for being inept, inadequate.
I know.
an inability to plan around the stadium. Yet,
I know.
Yet we also ascribed them the ability to run the Procurator Fiscal's office.
Yep, the police force of like a
Police Scotland.
Police Scotland.
The diaries of Police Scotland for Don Raids, and I'm not belittling people.
The council as well, oh, with the safety advisory group.
Yes, that's right. So they are completely incompetent at running a football club, but fuck's sake,
they've got a decent level of cunning when it comes to...
But running the country, Jesus, they should be the government.
I know.
Because they can control the police in their diaries. And they can
control the police,
and
the
they can
council.
Control the safety committee of the council.
Yep, and the judiciary.
And of course,
they've got about three branches going. They've got all three branches.
And don't forget, I mean, the board are all actually Rangers plants because they hate all Celtic supporters as well.
That got one of the ones that was like, oh, fuck off. And they said, look, these guys, because Ross Denman says, these guys are Celtic supporters. They really, they hurt as much as you hurt when Celtic don't do well, Peter Lawwell and Michael Nicholson. I mean, he was, people will say he was deliberately like a shit-stirring because how it was going to be received, everything he said.
I think it's less contrived and more he just thought what he thought and couldn't give a shit if the people... Because he'll see if the people who don't like what I say don't like what I say, who gives a fuck? Because they're nobodies. That will be his attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things they talked about in the presentation, and this again is a criticism of the club in terms of communication, they talked about they've never spent as much money on infrastructure as they've done in the last 12 months because
right.
they've done Barrafield.
Yep.
In a single season. They talked about doing the new pitch, a double-stitch pitch. Did you notice that?
I missed it.
Double-stitch hybrid pitch.
Double-stitch pitch.
Yeah.
Peter Piper picked a peck up.
To make it more durable in the winter. And as they said, they spent money in the stadium. As we're looking out here, I'm just noticing, you know those all those girder things that hold up the stadium?
Yeah. Do you think they've been replaced?
Yeah, they were all rusty. They, if you look, I'd never noticed it until we're just sitting recording the podcast today outside. They've all been freshly painted. Can you see that?
Remember, that's what they used to always just paint the crush barriers. That was the summer redevelopment in the old board.
I would suggest painting all that as a few bob.
They do look good. Are they finished yet? They're not even finished yet about these. But thank God they've got the legends back on.
But they were always going to do the banners. They said in the summer that they were redoing the banners. And it was to do with they were getting a better quality material with a better coating. And to be fair to the board, sometimes I do think they actually do communicate sometimes. Their communication's poor, right? But sometimes they'll communicate stuff and people will be having a go and you'll say, like, one of the things on one of the statements of the collective was some comment about the quality of the pitch.
There was that.
And I went back and asked on the WhatsApp group and on email, what's wrong with the pitch? Because you got a new pitch laid in the summer. And a couple of people came back to me and said, didn't know that. Well, how did I know it? I didn't know it because Peter or Michael phoned up and said, just let you know, Brian, heads up.
Double-stitch pitch.
Double-stitch pitch.
Double-stitch pitch.
And then put the phone down. So if I must have got it off Celtic. Right? So sometimes I do think people don't want to hear. People don't like. Sometimes it...
It's two sides that won't listen to each other anymore. It's two sides that won't.
Yeah. I mean, my gut feel based on the behaviour and the walkout and the shouting down, I'm not expecting the Green Brigade back in the ground anytime soon.
Again, we can't say that this was Green Brigade.
No, you can't.
Motivated.
You can't.
Lightly, but we don't know.
And I'm not making a judgment.
No.
I'm just, you know, being appraised of all the situation.
Yeah.
Put myself in the shoes of the various parties involved and thinking how they are likely to behave. There'll be a bit of noise at the St Mirren game. I was going to say at Love Street, at the St Mirren game on Sunday.
Yeah. Are they banned for away games as well?
I don't know how it's working on away games. I kind of...
Must be.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I really don't know. Well, to be fair, I spoke. We had a long chat with a guy from the Green Brigade.
You did?
Outside, and we started off where we were in a different position and finished with he said he was going to get one of the guys to come on the podcast.
Yeah, which we've been, we were accused of constantly nipping about them and never engaging with them, the Green Brigade. But I tried to get somebody to the Green Brigade and they said, they'll never do it.
Well.
And that wasn't me, by the way. I want that stated.
The only way you resolve anything in life is through dialogue. Anyway, that's enough of us.
I think people, when you deal with
people, other people in bad faith, what you get to thinking is like everything they do, that you read, you start to read too much in
everything that happens.
Everything that happenstance.
It's malicious intent.
Exactly. And yeah, both sides are now feeling, you know, that's like, where they are.
It's like,
look, the board will go away saying they were going to disrupt this and make sure it gets shut down, and then they could use it against us. The people, the red carders, we shall call them, they'll say they deliberately had Ross Desmond making a statement like that, which is provocative.
Yeah,
that was a level of provocation that was
designed to get us to get the
yeah. And I don't think either statement's true.
No.
So, once again, there's plenty of us find ourselves in the middle of this, thinking, I'm not really predisposed towards either side. We're the lost middle. We're the hard-working middle. We're forgotten about.
Yeah, the forgotten middle.
The forgotten middle.
Anyway, actually, do you know, I thought there might be more of the demonstrator people hang around at the end.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
They're sitting at the front door, but they've all just gone...
It's a Friday.
They're away for a McDonald's.
I would never go to McDonald's. Okay. See what they do in the illegal settlements in Palestine. Oh, you guys, I thought you were supposed to be solidarity with the Palestinians.
Actually, see, to be fair, I think they're Celtic staff walking about.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just when I saw the tracksuits. Didn't we see Martin O'Neill, like, with the players, like, a wee Sean and all that? Taking them for Happy Meal. You take wee Sean for a Happy Meal.
Right.
Sorry.
That's the end of us. So, I will say, I hope you enjoyed our AGM 2025 coverage.
Well, it's different.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.